This is The Artist's Response with Elizabeth Stewart, and you're welcome to join us. Please stay tuned for a program produced by Richard Dugan and researched and presented by Elizabeth Stewart, who welcomes the great artists of our community. What follows is a conversation of an artist's experience about the artist's response to trying times, creativity, reinvention, recovery, and of course, flexibility, which is in fact the narrative of our present time.
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your centress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And I always get emails from Terry Martin Sanite, who's a wonderful artist that's involved with LCCCA in La Cumbre Mall. And she always lets me know about what's going on in the galleries there. And I asked her, I said, Terry, would you pull together the real big names that are involved with that organic, amazing growth at La Cumbre Mall? And can you give me the names? And I want to get the people together that really matter in the growth of that community there. And so today I've got some movers and shakers from the La Cumbre Mall Arts Collective. And we're going to talk about how that happened. I got to say, I never thought that it would take off the way it has. And it's just been an amazing thing to watch. And so I've got Michael Cragen, who's the founder. I have Michael Mead, who's the head of Illuminate, which is one of the galleries there. I have Pat Heller with me, and Pat is with the Goleta Valley Arts Association. She's the special events coordinator there. She is facilitating things in La Cumbre Mall. We also have Jamie Dufek. Jamie, turns out, we've spoken to Jamie a number of times. She's one of the more important arts people in Santa Barbara, and she is formative in the growth down in the Cumbre Mall, head of the Arts Fund. And we're going to talk to her about what happened when she got involved down there. But before we start, I want Michael Cragen to introduce his concept, how this took off. And we've had Michael on the air, I think this is time number 4, just talking about this vision that he had that, I mean, every time he comes and talks to us on the program, I think it's just more and more amazing that it's taken off the way it has. There's 5 galleries involved now, publications involved, the arts funds involved, special events are involved. There's happenings, there's openings. They're fantastic and fun. And it's not a static place. It's amazing. It really is, because the mall was really decaying and now it's growing. It's just phenomenal. Anyway, I want to introduce Michael Cragen. Michael's going to tell us how he thought about this and how it started. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. It actually started back about 3.5 years ago or so, or actually almost 4 years now, to tell you the truth. And I was walking through the mall after I had returned from a trip to New York City. And as I was walking through, I was noticed, as I had noticed many times before, wow, this is a ghost town. And I started thinking to myself, wait a second, I don't remember seeing any empty stores in Midtown Manhattan and that sort of thing. I wonder what the difference is, or why was that, you know? And then as I was walking along thinking, I said, well, you know, they have art museums in that area. And also, wow, they have art galleries and so forth. Something different for people to come to other than just buying a t-shirt or some shoes or something. And I thought, that's interesting. Maybe that's a thing. And my initial idea was to get because they had a lot of open spaces then, 6 or 7 of the spaces, smaller ones, and have like an artist or two in that space, and have them be have their they'd have a studio there, and then they'd have display also. And anyway, I went to the mall management, upper management, and just talked to them about this thing. Said, wow, you know, because we were thinking of, we ought to do something. And so they said, you know, this might be a good idea. And then they asked me, they got back to me the next day and said, hey, do you know any artists? Can you put this together? Do you know any artists? And I said, yeah. Though actually, I didn't know any artists. But I said, yeah. And but I did know somebody who had a gallery over in San Ynez. And then they started putting me in touch with people. And those people, once I talked to them about what the concept was, started then talking to friends of theirs who are artists and so forth. And we started having meetings down there to form it. And one of the first things that became apparent to me was that the idea of having one or two artists in a space and doing it that way was, and again, now I know more about artists and how they are and think, was like impossible, because no artist was going to want to sit there all day, every day to keep the doors open. So that was not going to be workable. So in discussions with the various artists, we came up with the idea of maybe having like three spaces with like about eight people, you know, larger spaces with about eight people in each one, so that then the sitting time could be divided up more. So it wasn't quite that much. And that was kind of how it got started. And like I say, we settled on three spaces of about 2,500 to 3,000 square feet each. And some of the artists have studio and workspace in there. And there are some that are just display, but they all display. And each, the way it structures, we have an overall structure, Lukumba Center for Creative Arts, which is three of them together. But each, we have some general rules, but each gallery basically determines the day-to-day operational rules and the way that they function. And so far it has worked pretty well. It was amazing that we were able to make it through the COVID times, because we opened in November of 2019, and then about 4 or 5 months later, COVID started. But somehow we were able to keep going. And partly to the way it was structured, and that it was both workspace and display space. So it was still, you know, of value to the artist to be there and have it going. And that's how it started. And like you say, today there is our three spaces. There's the Voice Magazine, the Voice Gallery. There's the Arts Fund has a gallery there. There's a place called Ruby Sky, which has a lot of artwork in it. And then also the Grace Fisher Inclusive Arts Clubhouse, which is also very arts oriented. So there are basically seven spaces there now that are oriented towards the arts. And I never would have, we hoped that that would happen. But the fact that it has amazes me.
I agree. And so, Jamie, when we last spoke, we were talking about the Arts Fund and the gallery space, and we were talking about you filling the bookshelves and how interesting that the project was going to take off. And what, now, can you tell me, Jamie, what was the Arts Fund role in this growth?
You know, when I think about community and engaging the community, I think that that's where Arts Fund started to play a role and be part of this vision that Mike started here in La Cumbra. You know, so I actually need to give a little special shout out to Marco Pinter, who actually founded and started the Museum of Sensory Movement Experience in the mall during COVID. And we absorbed that museum last year and took over the space that Marco was using and turned what used to be his studio space inside the museum into our community gallery. And that's what really landed the Arts Fund into the mall. And it was Marco's partnership, support, and vision for interactive media arts in this area as well. And I think what the Arts Fund helped to just enhance that already existed was this artistic community in Santa Barbara and giving people access to it and engaging the community in different ways. So one of the things that we brought into the mall was the Arts Fund Art Walk, which used to be in the Funk Zone Art Walk, and we've been doing those every other month, and it has truly become a collaborative experience and event that everybody plays a part in, that's included in the mall and brings over 200 community members every single time that we have it. And so I think our role has just been a collaborative partner with the other spaces that have been in here, and that's what really makes it tick, and that's the special sauce here.
That collaboration part. Can you tell me how are the, now we've got the Voice Magazine and Gallery, the Arts Fund and Gallery, Ruby Stein, Grace Fisher, the Space and Clubhouse, and you've got the galleries, Fine Line, Illuminate, and Elevate. So Jamie, can you characterize the differences in those seven spaces?
Yeah, you know, I think that they each bring something special and unique, but all within the artistic community. You know, the Voice Gallery, the Voice and the Voice Magazine in and of itself has always been in supporter advocate for the arts in our community, and Carrie and Mark do an amazing job rotating work every single month there. That's, I think, their uniqueness that they bring is they have, they're rotating every single month and with group shows. And so you're seeing a vast amount of visual artists in that space. The other three galleries are unique in the sense that you're meeting the artists that occupy the space and seeing their galleries and their works and getting to have that interaction. The Arts Fund brings the interactive museum, which is the only kind between LA and San Francisco that's specifically targeted for adults and interactive work, as well as the community gallery, and the Arts Fund is a nonprofit. So our mission is supporting the arts as a whole, which is unique in there as well. The differentiators go on and on, and they are all approaching art as kind of this holistic thing for the community to engage in and have access to. The another space, which I would probably argue is creative and artistic in and of itself, is and I'm biased because I play a role in it, but CoLab also opened and is housing five nonprofits as a creative kind of co-working space for nonprofits and their executives.
That's, we talked about that last time you were on the show, and I'm wondering, how is that working out? How is CoLab working out? Are people actually getting along and collaborating in the way you envision, Jamie?
100%, and I think and beyond. You know, the amount of just conversations that are happening, the collaboration. I mean, the Arts Fund for 18 Arts Mentorship Program is actually partnered with the Santa Barbara Library to host a music production mentorship this summer. And so that's a huge, that wouldn't have existed if they weren't in the same space talking about some of the issues and challenges that they were seeing with programming.
Yeah, I think that teen arts mentorship is such an important element. And you're saying now it's branching out into the musical theater kind of interactive space. This will be this summer, this teen arts mentorship. And tell me a little more about that. That's so interesting.
Yeah, so the teen arts mentorship program is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. And, you know, we've had mentorships across the board, from visual arts to performance art. And the Arts Fund has really kind of embraced what is the most needed and sought after. And so music production is something that has come up quite a bit, and we found a local artist who is fantastic, and we're going to be holding that, and the venue is at the public library where they have access to the right equipment, which includes the right software and computers for up to 15 students. And so we're excited about those kinds of mentorships that are outside of the traditional visual arts mentorships.
Fantastic. And there's going to be 15. That's amazing. So we're going to go to quick break. And when we get back from the break, I want to talk with Michael Mead. And Michael, I want Michael to talk about Illuminate Gallery and the gallery he heads, and what's happening there day to day, and what are the artists doing day to day? What takes place behind the scenes? Who's making decisions for the gallery? That sort of thing, Michael. When we get back from the break, I'd love for you to talk about that. Just reintroducing La Cumbre Center for the Creative Arts. A collaborative program between many, many different artists and administrators and people that are really passionate about the arts has taken off. And we've got 7 spaces, 3 galleries, Illuminate, Elevate, Fine Line, Voice Magazine and Gallery, the Arts Fund and the Arts Fund Gallery, Ruby Stein, Grace Fisher Clubhouse, Collab, is happening via the Arts Fund, the Community Arts Gallery at the Arts Fund. We've got speaking to us about that whole collaborative process, Mike Creighton, founder, Jamie Dufek from the Art Fund. We've got Michael Mead, who's the head of Illuminate Gallery, and Pat Heller is with us, who's the special events coordinator for the Goleta Valley Arts Association. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes at one of the galleries, Illuminate, headed by Michael Mead, when we get back from the break. Just rolling by the cold, going where the long go. Just rolling by the cold, going where the long go. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm speaking with the movers and shakers of the La Cumbre Center for the Creative Arts, that organic, I don't know what you call it, but growth, it's octopus growth down at La Cumbre Mall, all the wonderful spaces for the arts. We've got 3 galleries, Illuminate, Elevate, and Fine Line. We've got the Voice Magazine and Gallery, the Arts Fund and Gallery, Ruby Stein, Grace Fisher Clubhouse. And I was just fascinated to hear that Jamie's telling us that Arts Mentorship Program, Teen Arts Mentorship Program, is in its 30th year now. And they're celebrating with this massive 15 students that will be mentored by music producer. How cool is that? And that's going to happen in the public library space, where there's another collaboration that's involved. She was talking about the Museum of Sensory Experience, that's kind of was the seed project, the Arts Fund, and the Art Walk. And I didn't know this, but 200 folks every time the Art Walk happens. It's fantastic. And I know the individual galleries have a life of their own. And I'd like Michael Mead, who's the head of Illuminations, to tell us about what happens day to day, Michael, at Illuminations.
Well, we have all 3 galleries have their hours set. They're basically the same within an hour, maybe or so. The big thing is that we have to schedule the artists, because artists they want to paint, they want to sculpt, they want to draw. And so we have to schedule them to take the hours, and they're all willing to do so. So that we can keep the gallery open. And one of the things that I found fascinating is people love to come in and be able to talk to the gallery the artists. They love to interact with the artists. I think it's a really big draw that they can come in and talk to somebody. All of our artists have their phone number there. If somebody comes in and their artist isn't there, they're more than welcome to take a call from them to ask about their art. We've done lessons. Some of the artists have done lessons in the gallery. It's really remarkable. I'm very impressed. When I was asked to join this, I was very honored knowing some of the artists and knowing how artsy Santa Barbara is. And then when the Arts Fund and the Voice Gallery came on, it really added a gravity to the whole situation. Mike has done a fantastic job putting us all together. And it's been wonderful. When I first started, I was in a gallery with 7 other artists. Now I'm in a gallery with 7 other friends. We've really become close, and I really enjoy the whole arts community in Santa Barbara is great.
And do I see Daniel Landman? Has he joined us? Daniel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi, Daniel. So great that you come in the right time because we just were launching into a conversation about what happens at the various different galleries. And Daniel's representing Fine Line Gallery. And so we just heard from Michael about Illuminations. Tell us about Fine Line. What goes on there, Daniel?
Well, today our gallery is a little bit different than the other two, and the fact that we have an emphasis on studio space. So we have a lot of 7 working studios and 8 artists in our gallery. We also are able to host events like today. We're actually hosting a writer's symposium. And we're also able to host various plays, and we have ideas for screenings in the future. So we have a good group of people right now that we've been working towards and rolling ideas around. And it's been really good to, as Michael was saying too, we've all become very close friends, and we rely on each other quite a bit for input and just motivation.
Can you tell me more about the writer symposium that's happening today?
I think that's Michael Cragen's baby, but I'm helping facilitate it with the space. But he could probably explain it more than I can.
Well, I want Michael to explain it, but before I do, Daniel, I want to know something pretty close to home, which is, since you've joined, you know, we spoke when you were pretty new down there. Since you joined LaCumber Center for the Creative Arts, has your career improved?
Quite a bit. I'm participating. I've participated in the 100 Grand Show last year at the Sullivan Goss Gallery. I'm now teaching at the Clay Studio, and I have 2 pieces up in their gallery. So it's definitely motivated me to branch out and work harder. I'm also participating in the Open Studio Tour as well. So it's definitely put me in a situation where I've never run a gallery before, so I've learned a lot by running this gallery and working with all the artists that have come through, it's been a great honor to work with everybody because everyone has their input. So we have a very organic approach to how we set up the gallery. We'll set it up, but each artist has a lot of say on what they want to show and what they want to display at the moment. So we're always working together.
Fantastic. So Mike, can you tell us a little bit about the Writers Symposium? You did mention that to me, and I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, certainly. Briefly, tonight at 6:30 at the Fine Line Gallery, which is down towards the Macy's end of the mall, We have a writer symposium. It's going to have two novelists, two poets, one of whom is was the poet laureate of Santa Barbara, and also a songwriter. And the theme of it is the art of writing. And that is basically how do, in a gallery with paintings and sculptures, in a certain way, how does writing compare with the art that painters and sculptors do? And what is the artistic elements of writing, and how do they bring it from something that's a two-dimensional thing of symbols on a page to a living, breathing, life-transmitting phenomena? And that's the idea.
Fantastic. We got a quick break. When we get back from the break, Pat Heller is the special events coordinator for the Goleta Valley Arts Association. Now, we're talking about a span of distance, you know, so the Coomber Mall is down here in State Street. And Pat has been with the Goleta Valley Arts Association for years. I want to know how they became involved and what the story is of the Goleta Valley Arts Association and the association with the Coomber Center for the Creative Arts. I'd like to hear from Pat when we get back from the break. Thank you very much. The writer's symposium sounds wonderful, wonderful. And it's so cool that, you know, it's like, it's not just, as Jamie was saying, there's so many facets of the creative life that seem to be happening there. That's amazing. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute, Pat's going to tell us about her involvement when we get back from the break.
Nobody knows, nobody sees.
Back, it's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm talking with the movers and the shakers at the Coomber Center for the Creative Arts. We just were speaking with Michael Mead and Daniel Landman about their management of two of the galleries, Fine Line and Illuminate, and what goes on behind the scenes of those galleries. And I was interested in, and Michael, do you mind telling folks about the arrangement, the memberships?
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Basically, how the Coomber Center survives is that it's not designed for me to make money from it. I don't make money from it, and that was never the idea. And so what we do is we take the expenses of, you know, the three galleries together, and we divide that by the 24 artists, and then that's basically like a monthly membership. It's not very much. I shouldn't say, they probably wouldn't want me to say exactly what it is, but it's super low compared with what they'd have to spend if they went out to get a studio space somewhere on their own. So it's much, much less than that. So that makes it good. And on the other side, when they sell a piece, sell one of their works, they keep 90% of the sale price.
Okay. And as I promised, Pat Heller is with us, Goleta Valley Arts Association Special Events Coordinator. And Pat, how is GVAA involved in the Coomber Center for the Creative Arts?
Well, we became involved during the pandemic. For many, many years, we showed almost monthly at the Goleta Library. And of course, we couldn't do that for a couple of years. So when I joined the board in 2021, I said, you know, there are these new galleries over at La Coomber Plaza. And for many years, we had done an outdoor summer show on the grounds of the Stowe House in Goleta. that was no longer available. So I worked with Mike Cregan and the management over there at La Cumbre. And in, I think it was August of 2021, we had our first outdoor show at La Cumbre Plaza. It was very much a cooperative effort, especially with the Fine Line, because they allowed us to store our display panels there overnight so we could set up early in the morning, loaned us their chairs. It was very much a cooperative effort. And one of our long-term members, Marie Arnold, is a member of that gallery, and she made those arrangements for us. So that's how we became involved. And we had a second show that December. Again, we couldn't use the library yet. And
loving you.
Something called Picasso's for Peanuts. And everything has to be $300 or less. And that was a very successful show in December of that year. So that's how we became involved with the Plaza.
And do you show your own work in any of those galleries?
I did. I was with Fine Line for about a year. And then I had another opportunity come up. So I'm no longer a member, but I go to all the art walks and I'm still friends with a lot of the people there.
And haven't you had some things at the Voice Gallery also?
Yes, I've been juried into several shows at the Voice, at the Tennis Club, and at the Carpentry Art Center as well.
Tell us what you make.
Oh, I do paintings in acrylic and watercolor. And in the winter at the Picasso show, I sell hand-painted glassware. I had a long-time business doing hand-painted glassware. So I sell in the winter.
That's very unique. I remember talking to you about the hand-painted glassware. That is very, very unique. How cool is that? Michael Mead, you are a photographer, right?
Yes.
You've been doing it a while, haven't you?
Yes, I originally came to Santa Barbara to go to Brooks Institute of Photography, and I decided the place was so beautiful I had to stay here.
What year did you start at Brooks?
85.
And has your career been successful here?
Yes, it has. It's been very successful. This is a very art-oriented community. I used to own a gallery on State Street next to the Granada Theater for a while, and I got involved that way, and then I got to meet some good artists through that, and then again through Mike's efforts here, and it's been a wonderful ride.
And are you basically, do you do events, or do you do mostly landscapes? I was looking at seascapes. I was looking at your site.
I do mostly landscapes and nudes.
And do you show at the gallery there? Do you show at Illuminations?
Yes.
Okay. So people, if they're interested, can see your work there.
Yes.
And are you on display always, or do you rotate with the other artists?
No, all of the artists in each gallery are always on display. We'll move them around within the gallery, but those are the only artists that display in each gallery, and they rotate their work, but they're all the only artists that are in each gallery.
And this is a dumb question, Michael, but can you describe a purchase of one of your pieces by someone who's come in?
Oh, well, actually, just recently, last week, I sold two photographs to a couple from L.A. And they came in and they were looking at all the pieces in the gallery, and they came up to me and they said, we would like these two, but we want them larger. So we have a certain place we need to put them. So I worked up the frame and mat that they wanted, and they came back, you know, a few days later. And I had them finished for them, and they were very, very happy. And they took the two pieces with them, and so it was great.
And Daniel, is Daniel still with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Daniel, same question to you. So if someone have you had an experience of a client approaching you and buying something, and what was that interaction like?
Oh, it was great. We had two people, a couple come in, who they have two houses here in Santa Barbara, and they live in Seattle part-time, and Italy as well as Montana. So they're always they're jet setting around quite a bit, and they came in and they purchased one of my figure sculptures that had a fountain base. And I got to, you know, the good thing about running the gallery and being there is like you get to meet the buyers and you have that personal connection. So I found out that it was going to their writing cabin in Seattle. And I always like to know where my pieces are going. You know, it's kind of a point of interest for me. And then they also bought another piece from another artist of ours that was in there named Casson. And they bought a drawing from him. And they went around and bought quite a few pieces. So it was a nice sale.
That's wonderful. I want to know when we get back from the break, I want to hear from Jamie, who curates the Art Fund Gallery? So when you hang folks, who's curating the show there, Jamie, when we get back? So let's go to a quick break. And then I'd like to know more about the Arts Fund Gallery when we get back from the break. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I've pulled together, with the help of Terry Martin Sanite, the movers and shakers at the La Cumbre Center for the Creative Arts. And by the way, we're talking about seven spaces and a pop-up as well. So how are the spaces different? Well, we've got Illuminations, Fine Line, and Elevate. We've got the Voice Magazine and Gallery. We have the Arts Fund down there and Gallery. Ruby Stein, Grace Fisher, and the Clubhouse. Within the Arts Fund, there's a lot of different moving parts. There's CoLab, which is a combination of five not-for-profits. And, you know, Jamie was telling us about the teen mentorship program that's in its 30th year the Arts Fund does. And I want to know a little bit more about the gallery at the Arts Fund, Jamie. Who curates that?
Sure. So the Community Gallery has been a program within the Arts Fund for over 15 years. And our guest curator program intertwines nicely with our community gallery program. And so when you see shows in our community gallery, we typically do 6 to 8 shows per year. All of those shows, except for our Teen Arts Mentorship Program, are guest curated. And those shows are directly from the community. Our guest curator program offers artists and curators to submit proposals to the Arts Fund for a slot in our calendar year to do a group show. There's really only two requirements that we have: that it is a group show, so 3 or more artists, and that those artists are local to the county. And I think that that's a unique aspect to our community gallery, as well as the guest curator program. And so you're really seeing the artistic vision of curators, local curators in the county, when you come to see the shows that we offer.
And can you give us the Arts Fund in a nutshell?
Yeah, so the Arts Fund is a nonprofit. We are actually celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. We were founded by two local Santa Barbara women, Joanne Holderman and Shirley Detman, and they were dedicated to the arts and education, and we have 5 main programs: our Teen Arts Mentorship Program, Community Gallery Program, Guest Curator Program, Public Art, and then Arts Fund Art Walk. And all of those programs support our mission to foster the arts throughout Santa Barbara County.
And how long have you been with them?
So I joined their board of directors in 2015.
Yeah, in quite a while.
It, you know, I love this organization. I think they take a holistic approach to the arts within a community and what that means to a community. And, you know, it's a really special organization, small but mighty.
I agree. I want to hear again from Pat. Pat, what's next? What's going on at the Goleta Valley Arts Association? So you're still on mute.
Sorry about that. During the pandemic, as I mentioned, we couldn't do what we normally did. So we started doing our shows virtually. We have a wonderful webmaster, Paula Gregoire-Jones, and she put all of our shows online. In fact, that's where I made my first two sales ever, was in our virtual show. And we have since gone back to the library. We sometimes work at the Faulkner, in the Faulkner, and we do our outdoor shows. We're currently looking at restoring an after-school art program where some of our artists go into the Goleta Valley Union schools after school and teach the kids art, because those programs have pretty much dissipated over the years. So we're a very, very busy group. One unique aspect of our group is that when we have a show, the juror comes at the end of the run and critiques each piece that he or she selected for the show, which is wonderful. It's like a masterclass in what to do, what not to do, framing, all those kinds of things. And that is unique to our organization in this area. So we're a very busy group.
So I've been at one of those shows where the curator critiques at the end at the library in Goleta. I was there and I was fascinated with just the attentiveness of the artists. They just were so eager to hear, you know, it's wonderful. Michael Mead, I'm wondering, so the two pieces that you sold to the couple, what were they?
One of them was a piece, well, it was a photograph of the Goleta Pier. And one of them was a photograph of Malibu at the sunset.
Fantastic. And Daniel, what was the piece that you sold? You were describing to the Jet Set couple. What piece was that?
It was a figure done in ceramic, and it was sitting upon a reflecting pool. And I think that's why they really wanted it, because it was going to their writing cabin in Seattle. So I guess they liked the aspect of the contemplation and reflection of the figure.
That's wonderful. And Mike, go ahead.
Oh, it's a really good garden feature. You know, it really fits into any kind of outdoor space. So they were happy with it.
Daniel, that's one of my very favorite pieces of yours. I'm glad it sold.
Thank you.
That's one artist talking to another. Don't turn that dial. We'll be back in a minute, Richard, saying we got to go to quick break. Today, we're talking with the movers and the shakers of Lucumbre Center for the Creative Arts. I have Jamie Dufek of the Arts Fund with me, Mike Cragen, the founder of LCCCA. I have two directors of two galleries, Michael Mead and Daniel Landsman, and Pat Heller also, who is a participant via the Goleta Valley Arts Association. And the kind of platform that we're talking about spans a number of spaces. And it's a phenomenon that if I had a bet on it in the beginning, I would say, no, it's not going to work. But boy, it has really worked. You got to go down there if you haven't and see it. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm speaking with the movers and the shakers of Lucumbre Center for the Creative Arts. And Mike Cragen was telling us that during the break, it's interesting, I was listening, Mike and Pat were talking about the Writers Symposium that's happening at the Lucumbre Center for the Creative Arts, and that's going to be at the Fine Line Gallery. Daniel, what are you doing to prepare?
Oh, I just clear the center of the gallery and shift the artwork around so they can have a open space, and we put the chairs and tables out for everybody, and that's about it. We open the doors, make sure they are comfortable and welcome, feel welcome.
Excellent, excellent. And Mike, are you? Well, who is coming to speak?
Okay, now you're relying on my memory. DJ Palladino, who is a novelist, Tracy Sean, who is a novelist, Sojourner Kincaid Rowley, who was the poet laureate of Santa Barbara for quite a bit, and another person who I can't remember, unfortunately.
Well, thank you all for joining us today, and congratulations on the great success at Lacombe Center for the Creative Arts. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.